we look at the message today in scripture passage, I want to start with the end. You should have two cards in your hand and a pen. And now, those of you that snuck past our bulletin people and you don't have one, you can get one now. Just maybe you just stick your hand up and Linda's going to get one of each to you. This is a day where we're participating in something that the Covenant Church all across the country is doing called What's Your One Step? And it's asking God to lay on our heart at least three people that we commit to praying for. So you write those names down over the next few minutes as God puts people on your heart. Committing to and maybe jotting down ways, very specific ways that you can show care to each person. So for the first person on your list, you go, okay, now what's a way that I can very practically express care to them? And then thirdly, maybe jot down a note or two on what's a very specific way that you can share your faith with them. Prayer, care, share. And a little bit later in the worship service, when we receive our morning offering and the baskets are going around, what I'd like you to do is to take the large card and put that in the basket, okay? And then to keep the smaller card with you and just put it somewhere where you're going to see it on a regular basis, whether that's in your Bible, that'd be a great place to be seeing on a regular basis, or a dashboard of your car, on the monitor of your computer, wherever you're going to be looking on a very regular basis, just as a reminder, God, I pray for, and then the people that are listed there today. Lord, open my eyes for opportunities to express care to these people. God, open my eyes to opportunities and having the right words to share my faith with these folks. And now, because we're involved with, you know, the 850 or so churches in North America that are doing this, at the regional gatherings of the Covenant Church, you know, all these cards get collected and are prayed over again together, you know, big pile. And then at the national meeting, there's a, you know, all of those cards. So your cards will be passed on and passed on and passed on. And literally, I mean, not necessarily by name, you're the one that's praying by name, but thousands of people will be participating in that prayer for your friend. And what I want to do in the next 15 minutes while you are thinking of those names is try to convince you that your intentionality in praying, in expressing care, and looking for words to share is one of the most important things you will ever do, period. Because God cares desperately for people that are distant from Him. Now, we've been in a series in the book of 1 Corinthians, and even though my little story of Elbow Lake is over, we finished that last week, I just can't put this book down. And the next passage that, you know, we were in chapter 8 last week, and we're in chapter 9 this week, and this book is just wrecking me. I'm finding it so convicting, and so I want to convict you with it a little bit, and bruise you a little bit with it. And so today we're looking at chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. And Paul is writing to a church in Corinth, and he's kind of expressing his heart and kind of how he does ministry. And we read these words, chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. Though I am free and belong to no one, Paul says, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all means possible, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Now, I mean, Paul is a guy who was raised Jewish, raised actually as a Pharisee, a person that was very familiar with the 600 and something laws of the Old Testament, did everything he could to try to follow them. And you see here in his heart, he is ready to jettison all of that culture, all of it, virtually, in order to communicate the gospel to someone that is outside that culture and needs to be communicated in a way that he or she can understand. It seems Paul is willing to do everything short of sin or compromise in order to share the gospel with somebody in a way that they can understand. And that heart begs for us the question today: how far will you go for somebody, for someone to hear about Jesus? How far will you go for someone to hear about Jesus? And I got to tell you, when I read these words, I feel very convicted. Because even though, you know, I care about evangelism, I mean, this is kind of why I'm in this whole ministry thing, I'm aware that if I'm really honest, I'm not giving it a lot of priority on my schedule. Now, Paul is a busy guy. I mean, he's writing to churches. He's starting all over the place. He's got a lot going on. He's a busy guy. And yet, he still keeps at the right of the center of his ministry this idea of, I have got to do whatever it takes, so that people can hear, can clearly hear the gospel. And as I hear it for myself, I go, you know, if I'm really honest, very often I get quite insulated and isolated. I naturally head in that direction if I'm not intentional about looking for opportunities to share my faith. Maybe you're the same way. It's not that you don't care. It's just that other stuff just kind of gets in the way. You kind of get busy. You kind of get distracted. But how far will you go for someone to hear about Jesus? Now, for me, I kind of tell myself I've got a lot of good excuses because, you know, it's my job to be a shepherd. And so I look after the sheep, make certain all the sheep have good food to eat, make certain all the fences are tended so the sheep don't, you know, get into each other's areas of the pasture, and keep all your little wool from getting bunched up in the knot. You know, ooh, stroke out the fur. You know, it's fine. All the little sheep problems, and you know, I joyfully spend, you know, hours and hours a, you know, week with sheep. I'm surrounded with sheep. Bah, it's great. Love them sheep. Love the sheep. But it's not all about that. The church exists for the benefit of people that are not a part of it. How far will you go? How far would you go to share your faith with somebody that has not yet heard about Jesus? And we're reminded that the message, you know, this message of the gospel, it's not ours. It's not like we're winning people to Christ. It's not like, you know, our good speeches or manipulation. That's not really the point. I mean, it's all about God. All the credit goes to God. I mean, like we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not from yourselves. It's the, what's the word? Come on, gift. It's the gift of God. The gift of God. God gives it as a gift. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. We can't brag about it. Oh, I earned this, or oh, I gave this. You and I, we are called to be messengers. We're like the UPS people, right? It's not our package, but it's our job to deliver it. And some of you look quite sporting in those brown little shorts, you know, the UPS shorts. That'd be great. Some of you, not so much. Or the FedEx guy. You're like the FedEx guy. You got to get the package there on time. And there's a lot of different ways that the package can arrive. Sometimes it comes by train, and sometimes it comes by plane and car and taxi or skateboard or bicycle. Or it depends on where you're trying to get it. But what we see in Paul's heart is, I will do whatever it takes, short of sin or compromise, to deliver the package safely to its intended destination. God is calling people, and he uses us as his ambassadors, as the carriers of that message. We take a message and we pass it on, like Kate said so well early in the worship service. So it also begs for us this question: how far will we go? How far will we go for someone to hear about Jesus? And I have a very specific prayer that I'm praying for you, for every part of our, every person in our church. It is my prayer that at least once in the next year, you will have the privilege of coming to church with somebody that is completely unchurched, somebody perhaps from your list or maybe just a pure surprise, that you, somebody that you love and care for, will come to church that has never been to church, and you get to be a part of that. And here's why. Because on the day that happens, you will pray for our church in very different ways. And you will see things very, very differently as you see them through the eyes of your friend. As you're driving to church, you have probably never prayed about the signs. But on that day, you will pray about the signs. Dear God, may the signs be out. May they be clear. May the directions on the arrows on those signs be pointed in the right direction, because I don't want my friend to show up at the wrong place or at the wrong time or be embarrassed because they come to a door and it's locked for them. You, on that day, will be praying for the signs. You probably never pray about the parking lot, but that day, you will pray about the parking lot, because you're going to be coming in there and you're going, oh God, please let there be a parking space for my friend, for my son, for my brother, for my husband, for my cousin, for my nephew. God, may there be a parking space there. And if your friend has special needs of some sort, you're going to be praying that people have left spots up in the slots up close, so that your friend has the things that they need, so there is nothing getting in the way for them coming to church for the first time. And you've probably never prayed about the greeting team. But that day, you're going to be praying for the greeting team, aren't you? I think I know what you're going to be praying. You're saying, God, whoever's on greeting today, whoever's on greeting, God, please let them be nice. Please let them be genuinely, like, friendly, but not like over the top and, you know, and hawking on anybody. God, please let them be nice. Please let them not give them the stink eye, because my friend, this is their big step. This is their big day. You're going to be hoping that it's one of those days when the greeters bring all the goodies outside onto the walkway, because you want your friend to have a good first impression. And I know my staff tells me, you know, we can't do that every single day. We'll burn out our volunteers, but it's somebody's big day. Every Sunday, it's somebody's big day. And you're going to be praying on that day. You're going to be praying on that day for our greeting team. You probably don't normally pray for the little check-in thing where everybody gets the name tags, but that day you're going to be praying for the little check-in cart. God, I pray that they're friendly there. God, I thank you that my friend isn't going to be singled out as a visitor so that they feel embarrassed for coming to church. I'm praying that the staff remembers to wear their lanyards so if they're looking for help, they know where to go. You don't normally pray about those things, but you'll be praying about them that day. You might not normally pray for the band, but you'll be praying for the band that day. I think I know what you'll be praying too. Dear God, please let them be good. You know? And even though my friend doesn't know any of the songs or anything like that, and it's all new to them, I just pray it sounds good. And even though they don't understand all of it, I pray that the worship leaders are into it, you know, and like lead the congregation well in worship. I mean, I pray that they're into it, but God, that they're not into themselves. I think you'll be praying that. And you'll be right. You might not normally pray for Linda as she's given the announcements, but that day you'll be praying for Linda as she's given the announcements. Dear God, let her talk about stuff that matters. Dear God, guard her words so she doesn't use insider language, so my friend already feels out of place enough so there's not like code words and stuff that they don't understand, so they feel like, well, I can never really be a part of this. You are going to be praying for Linda as she gives the announcements that day. You probably don't normally pray for the connection cards as they go out, but that day you're going to be praying for the connection cards. Be praying, dear God, may people start filling out those connection cards, because you know that if most people in the congregation are filling out the connection cards, there's a pretty good chance your friend is going to fill one out too. It's a much greater likelihood. And if they fill out that card, you know that they're going to get a handwritten note in the mail from me the next day, something, and a little coupon for a coffee shop or something like that. And you want your friend's first impression of church to be a good one. And so you're going to be praying that everybody fills out their connection cards that day. And you don't normally Pray for that. You may or may not normally pray for me as I speak. I hope you do, but, you know, you probably don't. But that day you will be. I think I know what you'll be praying. Dear God, let him not say anything stupid. Dear God, please don't let him say anything that's unnecessarily offensive, because the gospel is offensive enough. And no matter what, God, please, please, may the gospel be clearly proclaimed that day. That's what you're going to be praying, and you'll be praying that for me. Because, you know, just even though that same day, it's going to seem like any other day in church. People, you know, they're sitting there and they're thinking about, you know, what they're going to be doing after, and where they're going to go to lunch. And it may not be a big day. It may not, maybe not be Easter or something that we think of as this great big day where we kind of pull out all the stops and just do everything we can. But it's somebody's big day that day. And on that day, that a person and how they experience Christian message is going to matter so very much. You will pray differently. You have never prayed for the refreshments before, but you will be praying for the refreshments that day, because you know that if your friend has a cup of coffee in their hand, they're going to feel maybe, just maybe, a little bit more at home. You're going to be praying for the people in the nursery. God, may the nice ones be back there if they've got little kids. You know, the ones that really love on those kids. Please, God, may the nice ones be back there. You know, and those children's church workers, God, I pray that we'd have the really great ones, the ones that are really into the kids. I pray that we'd have them that day. You'll be praying those prayers because your friend and the way that they experience the Christian message will matter so much. You'll be praying against the food Nazis that sometimes sneak in, you know, that give the kids the stink eye, the kids that don't know how to behave in church, and they go and they raid the things. And you'll be praying against that. God, let them be sick today. You know, just for one day, because I want my friends and my friends' kids to experience love and grace, and if sneaking a cookie makes them feel more at home at church, I don't care. And you're going to notice that, and you're going to notice all sorts of other things that you normally never notice, and you're going to be angry, maybe even ticked off at the church as a whole if we fail in one of those areas. And rightly so. You will pray differently. You will think differently because that person, that's their big day. That's their day. You're going to notice things that we didn't do but we should have done. And you're going to, hopefully, you're going to speak up and you're going to help us do it better. You're going to notice things that we do that, oh my goodness, we shouldn't do that. And you're going to see it and you're going to help us do what we're supposed to do better. And just maybe from all of those prayers, just maybe those prayers will inspire you enough to get in the game and help. Just maybe. And so it is my prayer that at least once in this next year, God will give you the gift of being able to bring with you and meet here somebody that has never been to church before and right now is distant from God. You will pray differently. We'll get upset about the right things. We're a church. We fight. That's what we do. We'll fight about the right stuff. We're going to be passionate about the right things. So that's my prayer for us. How far are we willing to go for someone to hear about Jesus? It is my prayer for us, that we will do anything short of sin or compromising the gospel to safely deliver it to the intended person. Because God is on a mission to redeem the world one individual at a time. And he has given us the task of delivering the message. You're the UPS guy. You're the FedEx guy. And we want to deliver the package well and intact to your friend and to the next generation, so that we leave the church in better shape than we found it. So the gospel in the year 2040, in the year 2050, if the Lord tarries that long, that the gospel in North American church is stronger than ever. Anybody with me? How far will we go? How far will we go for someone to hear about Jesus? How far will you go for someone to hear about Jesus? I pray these kind of words and these things that you write down, this is one of the most important things you will do, period, in life. I pray that the gospel will wreck you, and that you will be willing to do whatever it takes, short of sin or compromise, to deliver that message to the next generation and to the people around you that God desperately loves. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the unique position you've given us as a church in the community, where for whatever reason you have blessed us with a lot of unchurched people that come to Columbia Grove just to check out the faith. And God, we pray that we would handle that trust very well. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us, that you would forgive me when I become insulated and isolated. And though I care about it, I'd spend very little time actively engaged in the thing that you care the most about. So, Lord, would you forgive me? Would you forgive us? If you're here today and you're recognizing as you're praying and listening that you've become insulated and isolated, and you're not reaching out to the people around you, just stick up your hand so we can pray for each other. Come on. Confession day. So God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. Break our hearts with what breaks yours. And maybe you're here today, and today is your big day. This is an opportunity for you to respond to the gospel, where you can hear, I pray clearly, that God loves you so much he gave his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross to die for you so that you could have a relationship with him. And you're here today, and you made it through the door, and you made it past the greeters, and you made it past the music. And maybe today's your big day, and today's the day you're going to give your heart to Jesus. I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, I just want to stick up your hand. If it's a brand new start, or maybe the very first time of opening up your heart to Christ, if today's your day, so we'll stick your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Stick them up. That's right. That's right. Lord, thank you for our new sister in Christ, a new brother in Christ. Lord, may we be faithful as a church to deliver your message to the people that you love. Pray these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, let's thank God for what he's doing with I saw three hands go up today. Somebody's making a new commitment to Christ. Let's welcome some new people into the kingdom of God.